This episode is not targeted to anybody who's bleaching or has bleached or will bleach, planning to buy products on Bobrisky. This episode is not targeted to you or to attack you in any way, shape, or form. But we're doing this episode because we believe that when you know better, you do better. If you don't have that information, you can say, hey, I never heard about it.
Right.
You know? But when you have that information, you can make informed choices. You can do better, right? So if you're bleaching right now, if you bleach, or maybe you're lightening or toning or even whitening, it's never too late to take a step back and just reevaluate your reasons for doing stuff. Hi.
Howdy.
Welcome, guys. My name is Izzy, and of course, today I have the amazing Ade here with us. Hi, Ade.
How's your week been?
Ooh, my week has been full of ups and downs. I've had really awesome times, and I've had really, really depressing times. But on average, I think we're good. Yeah, considering that we're in COVID-19 season.
Still, how long have you been?
You know, I've lost track of time.
I don't even know what today is.
It just really seems like today is Wednesday, actually. Wednesday. When I was in grad school, deans would say Wednesday. Yeah, today's Wednesday, and we are recording our podcast episode for Thursday. Like you guys know, much of our episodes are not live. We pre-record and deliver them to you as it hot. As it hot. So anyway, today we're talking about something really, really sensitive, I would say. But it's just something that needs to be said. Oh my God, our last topic was also sensitive. So, okay, today is going to be light. It's not going to be too sensitive. We promise that you guys are going to have an amazing time. And you're going to take away something from this episode. Today, we're talking about skin tone. So, I recently posted a picture on my Instagram, African Princess in America. And it was a picture of us. It was kind of old, actually. It was about maybe a year ago, maybe. Or two.
Yeah.
It's an old picture. Yeah. And, okay, side note, you guys. I have this problem where I can't delete pictures from my phone because I'm too attached. And recently, like, my phone would literally, I can't even pick a phone call or send a text message.
I keep telling you to just use one day or just use a couple of hours, right? Just make sure that all your files are uploaded to the cloud.
The cloud.
We'll mention which cloud.
They don't pay us. Hackers.
upload all your pictures and then delete the stuff that's off your phone. You know, luckily I use an Android phone and you are able to swap out memory cards.
Oh, I could just get a phone that has a higher memory and just have more pictures on my phone. Actually, what you were telling me at first was that I should get a new phone. Because I kept getting this message of no space, phone memory is full.
You finish paying your phone BC before you want to get another phone?
Ah! I changed mouse. This is the truth. Well, like you guys know, we are paying our monthly bills. I think I might be done paying for that phone, actually.
It's, you know, it doesn't make it. And this is my take, right? And we might be off topic. We might not even include this.
Yeah.
Is that it doesn't make any sense, you know, getting these phones on these long-term
purchase 2-year plans. 2-year contracts.
Because the value of the phone decreases in year one. While you're still paying, you know, retail value as at when the phone was released. Right. So let's say, for example, the phone is, you know, $1,000, right? By month 5 or by month 7, that phone is now worth $700.
Yeah, but does it make sense to pay $800 for a phone on day one, though? Like, who wants to shell out $800 for a phone on day one? I really don't want to spend that money on anything that is called a phone. But they trick you into thinking that you're gonna be paying less.
Right,
yeah, you're going to pay $20 every month for this phone.
Or they'll say, we'll give you a discount, you know, or we'll give you like I think on our plan, they're giving us like, what is it, like $15 back every month?
Well, they're not,
but it doesn't make any sense.
At the end of the day, nobody's forcing you to join these plans. They're still the same people that will renew our contract and get new phones. But you guys, really, what I'm planning to do is
But we love Verizon.
We love Verizon.
Well, you've got all points.
We're not talking about Verizon, though.
We're just talking generally.
Yeah. As you can tell, the money where we jump from that advert don't finish. So, If they renew our contract, we talk differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verizon's the best, right?
Yeah.
The best.
Anyway, so today we're talking about skin tone, and let me give you guys some background to this topic, right? So, according to a study that was done by the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. They said that 77% of Nigerian women actually bleach their skin. Mm-hmm. And some people are watching, you know, wondering that what is skin bleaching? You know, it's called different names. It could be whitening, lightening, mm-hmm. Even toning sometimes.
What's the difference between? I know.
They're all fancy ways. So, I was asking a dermatologist. I was asking one of our Instagram gurus on skincare this morning. I was just like, what's the difference between whitening, lightening, toning, bleaching? And she was just saying that these are just fancy names for the same thing, really. I think it's also like a bougie thing. So for instance, now I maybe like I don't bleach, right? And then you're like, okay, to appeal to you that you don't bleach,
right?
How about toning? We're not changing your skin color. It's going to be so gradual. It's going to look natural. You know, you're just highlighting what's already there. Mm-hmm. And people buy into that stuff. Anyway, so skin bleaching is actually the practice of using chemical substances in an attempt to lighten the skin. That's just really what it is. People are taking off their melanin or reducing the melanin concentration of the skin and then causing the skin to be lighter, basically. Mm. And it's not just in Africa, actually. I was reading an article earlier today where, you know, talking about in the Caribbean as well, where it's called browning in Jamaica, where they're like
browning,
actually. They prefer the browner girls. What we call lighter girls, they call it browning. I guess that's the name for it there. But so it's all over the world, you know. And even in some countries, like I was just thinking back, like in some Asian countries, the women carry around these umbrellas because they don't want to tan. That's tan. Mm-hmm. They like to stay kind of whitish, really. Mm-hmm. So it's. I think it's a worldwide thing, but in Nigeria, it's just getting out of hand. Thinking back now, I can think of like 5 people I know that bleach. So that the statistics that they give may be right because you know someone, or you have probably used some product, or you know it's like you know or you've seen some product that is for skin lightening, bleaching, toning, or whatever. And today we're going to explore why people do this and some of the reasons behind it. All right. Okay. So, as you guys know, I posted a picture on my Instagram, which we went off on a tangent talking about that picture. But what we were really trying to say is Adi and I are two.
Are any of us bleaching?
I don't know what else I was going to say. Mm. I was going to say that we're two very opposite skin tones, mm-hmm. right? My skin is a little lighter on the lighter spectrum, and Ade's skin is on the dark chocolate ebony spectrum, mm-hmm. right? And you know, sometimes when we post pictures, our friends will be like Coke and Fanta, and you know the irony is you like Coke, I like Fanta, but that's not the only reason. Well, I've repented from soda, but yeah, right now I don't really indulge in that anymore. I try not to allow you to do that too. The thing is this. When you know, with more information, you do better.
You're
drinking soda every time, but by the time you find out that the amount of sugar in that thing, you just take a step back. But there used to be a time when Fanta was my thing. And there was a time when, well,
I still drink Coke.
A Coke addict. Anyway, but I try to guilt trip him every time we go to the mall. So the grocery store. I'm like, don't get it. Do not get it. Anyway. Yeah, so some of our friends call us Coke and Fanta because of the extremities of our skin tone.
Yeah,
and
that's not that extreme, but...
I mean, the way they say it, though. Personally, it doesn't really affect me because I don't really care. But after watching the documentary Skin on Netflix, actually, it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And especially, like, when it comes to work, you know, or in you know, some circles... you are given more opportunities if you are lighter. In some places, you're given more opportunities if you're darker. You know? I that's just my take. So people might develop a complex. Is that the word? It would be a complex or just some kind of a need for acceptance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go, guys. So it's a thing. And... apparently, a lot of people are affected. Okay, So we're also going to be talking about something called colorism, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to be relating that to colorism. And colorism is just discrimination based on skin color. Right. And it's usually within people of the same race.
Oh.
So for instance, we're not talking about people, we're not talking about white people hating you because you have black skin.
Right.
We're talking about people of the same ethnicity, really looking at each other and saying, hey, we're different. Yeah. I'm lighter than you, probably better than you, more beautiful than you. And you're dark, dark, dark and ugly, basically. Yeah. So what colorism is. Now, we're just going to put a disclaimer. A yes, exactly. So I was just trying to say, it's not all over. It's not just in Africa. It's all over, really. And I was just going to put a disclaimer and say, this episode is not targeted to anybody who's bleaching or has bleached or will bleach. Mm-hmm. Planning to buy products on Bobrisky. This episode is not targeted to you or to attack you in any way, shape, or form. But we're doing this episode because we believe that when you know better, you do better. If you don't have that information, you can say, hey, I never heard about it.
Right.
You know? But when you have that information, you can make informed choices. You can do better. All right? So if you're bleaching right now, if you bleach, or maybe you're lightening or toning or even whitening, it's never too late to take a step back and just reevaluate your reasons for doing stuff. Right?
I might be skipping ahead of, but when you start, do you, like, is it a continual process? Like, you can't?
There's nothing that cannot be stopped, right? But here's the thing. If you start a process and you stop a process, you reverse back to start to school, right? And originally, you didn't even like what you looked like before. So, you know, that's the problem is people feel like, I don't like what I looked like. And you know, let's talk about some of the reasons why some people bleach. And I've, you know, researched this. The first reason, actually, that I saw why people bleach is no reason at all.
Okay.
So some people don't even know when they started bleaching. It was a thing to do. Everyone around them was bleaching. Mom was using lightening cream. Mm. Auntie is using bleaching cream. It was just the cream to buy.
Yeah.
And you don't even know why you're buying it. You know? It's like everyone in your family is, what's your personal cream that you're using? Jaggers. Okay. You know, and I find that because you use it, I'm using it because you're using it, because I personally don't actually have.
But I mean, is it like, does it feel like lotion? Does it feel like.
Yeah, it is cold, lotion. No.
Acid. You know,
why are you burning your skin? I live with you in the same house.
I don't know.
It's going to be a chemical that is just laced up with fragrance. So you might not really be aware that you're.
Right. It's affecting you.
That's, you know, it's like a chemical from the lab or something. Right. But, So, the first reason was no reason at all. It's just, some people just have just been doing it because, hey, mommy's doing it. Mm-hmm. Why not me?
Your friends or something.
My friends are doing it. You know, that's the cream to buy. And then you ask your friend for a company. They're looking for a good cream. And they're like, buy this one. You know? And I know you were trying a whole lot of different creams.
What do you mean?
Well, remember when we were using a separate cream and you were just like, no, you want to go back to Jergens because it's the one that keeps your body, like, not ashy.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, again, I guess it's down to skin type.
Yeah, I guess what keeps you moisturized. I think for you, that's what was important. Yeah. So I don't remember the one we were using before that time, but I know that you requested that
these brands. Should you mention all these names? Nobody's paying for.
No, anyway, we're just giving them free information. It's not about sharing information. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Aha. Uh-huh. So the first reason is no reason, or just what everyone is doing, and you want to do it. The second reason is social acceptance. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, there's societal pressure to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess you're given more opportunities if you're, in some circles, you're given more opportunities if you're much brighter, if you're much lighter in complexion.
Mm.
You know, you're conditioned to think that if you are of a lighter complexion, then, you know, more things would come your way.
Right. Mm. And who could you blame for this, the conditioning?
I mean, I guess it's a much longer history. You know, it also alludes to like racism and all that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Colonial what? Indoctrination. Yeah. Right. When they came and they told us that light is better, dark is not good.
White is all right, black go back or
something. I don't even know how they say it. The aftermath of that really is, and sometimes people don't even know why they're thinking that way. But it's just been passed down over the years to the point where you just see something and just like, you see two people and you're like, this one is pretty, this one is not.
Right. And I mean, it also even affected, that's what caused the civil war in Rwanda for the most part.
Exactly. The Tutsis and the Hutus.
It wasn't civil war, it was the genocide.
Genocide, actually.
That's also what, you know, kind of led to the Rwandans genocide, mm-hmm. Where there were, you know, fights between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Again, I don't have the exact history here.
Yeah.
But basically, it was about, you know, people who look a little bit more, you know, European,
tall, much longer
faces, mm-hmm. much lighter in complexion versus people that, you know, are much darker in complexion. So mm-hmm. that's just...
Yeah. So it didn't start today, and it probably will end today, but it's good to have this conversation and start it going. I'll tell you guys a little story. When I was younger, so in my family, we have like a full spectrum. Well, mm-hmm. we don't have all the way to really, really dark skin, but we have like, I would say light to, I don't even know how they're graded, but we have brown, light, and then dark. I'll say that. And so, you know, I have five sisters and we all have different shades. I used to tease my elder sister and say that she looked like a ripe purple when I was young, and she would get really mad at me. But it's just her color was like golden kind of. So we just looked different. And I remember one day I went to my dad's office. I don't think I was over 10 at this point, but I remember it vividly. I went to my dad's office. He was always working, but I would go there like after closing time at 5. And I would just like hang out with him while he, you know, did a little more work. So I remember his secretary was getting ready to leave, and she walked into the office and she said, "Is this Ozzy? Wow, so beautiful, you know?" And my dad immediately said, "Well, did you see her sister that came here yesterday?" She was like, "Yeah." My dad said, "Did you tell her she was beautiful?" She said, "No." My dad said, "Please don't give them those kind of compliments." And when I was young, I felt like, what is my dad talking about? Someone is telling me I'm beautiful. He doesn't want the person to tell me. So it just kind of stuck with me. Like, but then I guess as a parent, you see the preferential treatment that people give your kids based on how they look.
Right.
So maybe because my sister came the previous day and she was maybe darker skin, my dad noticed that nobody said anything to her, or even said, "Oh, you're pretty," or anything.
Right.
And then I come the next day, I'm much lighter skin, and then the secretary is like, "Oh, look how beautiful Ozzy, you're so beautiful, look at how you look," you know. So my dad said, "Please don't give them those kind of compliments." And it took me a while, but I later understood
why
he did that, because, you know, he's probably, you know, he's taking us out together, he's probably seen the imbalance in that. I know that my sister is not pretty or anything, but, you know, in a society where people think lighter is better. I think that's the very first incident that I remember, actually, where I was trying to smash your hand, but thank you for that in the whole world. Thanks for that in the world. I won't cut it down with you. She will hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was it. Another thing is, people think that they're not seen if they're dark. So, for instance, they don't get any toasters or any attention from men. Some ladies actually say they go into the university, they can study for 4 years. Even if they do extra course, study for 5 years, they won't get anybody to talk to them. But once they started bleaching, they said, you know, they got a lot more attention. And so it looks like the lighter skin ladies get a lot more attention than the dark skin ladies, at least in our society.
Right.
So I have a question for you, though. Back when you were, you know, I have your flat. I know everybody you dated with dates and signatures. That was from him. But when you were dating, was color a thing for you? Was it something that you look out for and like, I want a light skinned girl?
No.
You said no.
No, I mean, do you want to have the conversation?
No, it
never really was. And, you know, it would just be out of character for me to just speak to someone because they are a certain shade.
Right, we're looking at other things like glasses. I know glasses, you like glasses. Okay, we'll revisit that another time. So yeah, that's social acceptance, but people are just like, I want to be accepted. I want men to notice me. I want women to notice me. that's very funny.
Cause guys
bleach too. You know, I would say it's much more common with women, but I have seen some guys that bleach, and at first I'm like, okay, maybe they didn't know they're using their wife. So their wife scream all said they're like, just use your cream. Since it's here.
There was a period in Nigeria where it was like a lot of, you know, men were bleaching.
Yeah, I never understood that, actually. Anyway, I guess what a man can do, or what a woman can do. We're always fighting for equality, aren't we? But one of the things I wanted to say was that even if men are not bleaching as much as women are, they are still very much affected by colorism, mm-hmm. because if they're not actually bleaching their skin, they're actually looking for yellow girls or or light skin girls to date. You know, when your preference is light skin, just because it's light skin, not because the girl has other qualities that you like. But number one, I must see her light first, And I feel like that is, you don't even know that's conditioning, but you have that colorism going on as well, right? Okay, so you're in the dark, much darker shade of brown. Have you ever thought about your, and this is one of the problems, when you talk about people's skin, they will take it as insult. Explaining your skin color, you're like, wow, is it not, or you're hot, or explain your skin to them.
I am a black man.
Okay, you're black man, But so in the context of skin.
High grade or low grade or middle grade.
No, we're not grading in that country. Okay, you guys, we'll post a picture of his Ade's skin and my skin together, and you can know what we're talking about. But but as a guy, we just talked about men bleaching. Have you ever thought about bleaching?
No.
Let me ask the question first.
No, I have not thought about.
You've never thought about bleaching.
I mean,
like, lightning. Okay, what of lightning?
I would admit, you know, when I was much younger, of course, high school, and you definitely, there were many times I think I was bullied just because of my complexion. But like I said, it's things that you just kind of roll with punches.
Yeah, but yours was probably racism because you were in other countries.
I mean, there might have been, that too. But like I said, you just kind of live with it. And you also have to have a support system. It could be your parents, it could be friends. Like, just kind of tell you, kind of reaffirm who you are and where you're from and why you look the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a unique identifier of you, rather than trying to do something else that you're not.
Yeah.
And just to fit into a crowd.
Right. And, this skin that we're talking about, really, what is the function of this skin? So is it just to apply whatever we want to apply on it, or does it actually have a function? And not to go into some kind of biology class, but the skin is the largest organ in your body, right? It wraps everything together, keeps you warm, protects you from infection. It's just it has a function, really, right? And stripping off those layers actually is counterintuitive, because that protection, you're kind of playing with that and taking away from that. Now, I'm not going to say that, hey, don't bleach, because if you bleach when you have surgery, they're not going to be able to stitch you up back together. Your skin's going to be breaking apart. That's what our parents used to tell us then. Yes, that people who have bleached so much, their skin is so weak. And then if they ever do go into surgery, then the skin, doctors complain about the skin not being able to hold together, depending on how much bleaching they've done. But we know that scare tactics is not actually the best, because scare tactics is not actually the best, because people still go ahead and do things anyway. Right. It's just like telling people that if a man touches you, you're gonna get pregnant. People still go ahead and get pregnant. Right. You know what I mean? So I believe that when you come from a place of understanding the why people do stuff, you can then talk to them about the problem, right? Instead of telling people something that, oh, this is gonna kill you.
Yeah.
I actually watched a show the other day, Dr. Phil, where this girl got butt implants and died. And the comment section, someone was like, "If I die, I die." And I'm just like, what? So you see, it doesn't always work that way when you scare people like that. Okay, I'm going to ask you another question. What if I told you that I now like light-skinned guys, and I want my guy to be light-skinned, and would you bleach for love?
No. again, I guess.
Walk out on this love of a lifetime.
It also is down to the strength of one's character. And I say that, I don't mean to be insensitive by saying that, because when it comes down to it, it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, oh yeah, why don't you just toughen up and deal with it? There's immense pressure that people will go through to do the things that they do, like making the decision to leave because they want to fit into the crowd.
Right.
That being said, it's typically down to the strength of one's character, to stick by your morals and stick by what you think is right, what you believe is right. So is our love strong enough for me to bend my morals? Is the question.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Love is supposed to be conquer all.
We conquer. This is conquer.
No, love is supposed to conquer all.
It's supposed
all
to conquer
things.
All, but
so
then.
So love should trump your morals.
Hmm? I hear yourself.
No, if I say, baby, I love you, please bleach for me. Uh huh. You will not tell me that our love is not strong enough.
Yeah, that's not love. That's not love. That's abuse. That's abuse.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, one of the things I like about you is your skin. I really like, and I always tell you, that your skin is even toned. It's the same everywhere. It's just really, really, I'm not advertising you here, but you have really good skin. And one thing people don't know about being lighter shade is that I've battled with skin issues all my life, really. For instance, in the summer, I like to lay on the floor sometimes. And if I get bitten by any insect, like, it will be like a signboard, like,
your Airbnb.
Oh my god. Storage. Yeah, so many things. So, or if I have acne, or if I have any scars, right. or if I have right. anything, I feel like it's just, that's the first people thing people see about me. And so I have to be extra careful all the time, you know? Mm. And so I feel like if I were, sometimes I feel like I was dark skinned, I would have those worries. But that's just to tell you some of the things that people who are lighter skinned actually face. So if you have like scratches or acne or whatever, it's just really out there. Another thing is unwanted attention, because in our society, people actually like light-skinned girls. And so you get all these people, nice guys, bad guys, you know, it's just a mix. And you're constantly trying to figure out, I mean, some people are like, that's a good problem to have, but it's not really a good problem to have, because you don't, you want people to come to you because they like your character,
right? Really. Not just
who you are on the inside, not because of what they see on the outside, because all that stuff is just can just disappear, really. And so those are some of the things. I'm not saying that being light skinned is not nice, but I'm just saying everything comes with its own responsibilities, and you'd have to navigate the process. And I will not sit here and act like, you know, I haven't really, my mindset wasn't once light, maybe better.
Yeah.
Because when I was in high school, we did have some mixed kids. I don't know the politically correct term to use these days. We used to call them half-caste then, but then
yeah,
we know better now.
Yeah,
we know better that that's not a good thing to say. But they're actually mixed race kids. And so, for instance, your dad is Nigerian and your mom is Brazilian. And they have this mix, and they have this beautiful child who doesn't quite have the kinky African hair, but has like curly hair, a little more curly and maybe softer.
Right.
And then the skin is more on the lighter shade, right? And we had people like that in my high school. And I used to look at them like, these girls are really pretty. Like, they're so beautiful. Why did I think that way? Because they were different. And because society had kind of like subconsciously put those layers there.
Right.
That lighter was better. I still remember I told my friend the other day, Jojo. I told her that you were the very first person I saw with the black doll. When we were kids. And we were in Nigeria. But she was the very first person I saw with a black doll. And her godmother had sent it to her from the US. And I was so intrigued by this thing. I would follow her everywhere just to play with this doll. So you see, we didn't even have black dolls at that time.
Yeah.
If anything,
that's
we had
also
this.
Something else that,
yeah. We had
from
all the Barbies.
Age, right?
Yeah, we had all age. The Barbies with the long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jojo was the very first person I saw with a black doll with, you know, kinky hair. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, she's so beautiful, but why don't we have these things?
Right.
So I think it's that conditioning. You don't even know it's there, but it's there, because in the little thing, when you watch the cartoons and you watch the cartoons, the pretty girls are
right.
long blonde hair, and
right.
you know, and you're in Africa watching these things, and that's what gets ingrained in you.
Mm-hmm.
So there were times I also thought that, you know, but then I had to tell myself, like, what is this? I had to think about it. I remember when I was a kid, and we used to have all these missionaries come from America
mm-hmm.
with their kids, and my best friend growing up was Dorcas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole year, I and Dorcas are cool.
Yeah.
Best, inseparable, we're really, really cool. As soon as these kids come, like, we start fighting. Why? Because who's going to be best friends with the white kids this summer? You know?
Yeah.
So I'll wake up early, go outside and play with them, and then I'll go back to Dorcas in the evening that, guess where I was all day with these kids. We played and played and played and played, you know? And then my very good friend will butt heads, because we just each wanted the friendship of this kids who would come from abroad. So you see that is also a consequence of conditioning, where it's there in your subconscious that these people are better, and we'll spend the whole time just fixing it on their hair, their clothes, the way they smell. That's when I realized that people have a different, you know, smell to them. It was just a thing that we would do, you know? And so, but now I know better, and that's why I'm preaching this message. That's what I'm saying to you guys. There was a time that I used to think that way as well. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's okay. Igbo people will say this. Yeah, let me say it to Igbo. Mm-hmm. Whenever you wake up is your morning, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the head and tail of what I'm going to say. Okay. So if you wake up at 12 noon, it's good morning. Wake up at 6 a.m. is good morning. Mm-hmm. 9 p.m. is good morning. So basically, whenever you wake up to the truth, or whenever you wake up to new information, use that information to make your life better. Use that information to make your life better. And I know that on the side, you also have a business, actually, where you, this media company that you,
right.
you do all this photography and videography. One of the girls in the documentary on Netflix, the skin documentary, was saying that as an artist, she's super dark skin, and when she go on set, the lighting people will be like, ah, this light skin is easier to film. So what do you feel about working with people of different skin tones?
And that is actually the misconception, right? Mm. So I think there's a misconception there, and actually that's the greatest misconception. Mm-hmm. Darker skinned people are actually the most interesting to light, but you know, melanin or you know, dark skin takes in a range of colors, right? You can light someone that is a darker complexion, a nice even tone of like sepia, blue, or teal. You can throw in an orange there, and it just like it bounces off their skin, just like in a very rich way, right? People that are, and again, it all depends on your lights, right? But it's understood that yes, if you're lighter in complexion, you need less lights. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that there's only so much you can do, right? You're able to. I see darker skinned people like a, you know, a very interesting canvas, or a canvas that you can just like paint, or you can be really creative with.
I see what you mean.
But again, you know, it's not to say that one is better than the other, but right. there's a great misconception that one is better than the other.
Right.
You know, look at series like Insecure, right, on HBO, and see most of the characters that are on that show are dark skinned. And the way that those characters are lit in many of the scenes, it just really gives you a masterclass of how to light people that are dark in complexion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense. But here's what I'll say, right? If you're working on a set and your job is to do the lighting, mm-hmm. I don't think you have any business telling people.
Yeah, that's just
picking out talent and saying that, oh, you know, because you're dark skin, or light skin, you know. It's hard to work with you. I can't figure out the lighting. Figure it out. That's your job.
You're just lazy.
That's why you have that job. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. And stop giving the talent problems because of their skin color. I think that's just wrong. So that's something I would really want to put out there, is people need to stop, right? People need to stop. And then there are people out there who are saying, well, I'm not bleaching, I'm just toning, you know? That's fair, all right? Do you? At the end of the day, it's a choice. At the end of the day, you make a choice. But just understand that...
Are there people that have to bleach for a particular... I don't know, maybe like they had an accident or something, or, you know, maybe they got sunburned?
No.
Are there instances where...
Let me give you an instance where, when I was younger and I was in high school, there was this lady that my sister's friend, actually, she stayed with us for a while, and I had this bruise on my hand. I still remember it. And my sister's friend had this cream that said that it would fade cream, that's what they called it, and that it would fade any spots on your body. So I put that cream on that bruise, and I kid you not, in 2 days that scar was gone. And I remember going home and telling my mom that I used this cream on my bruise and my scar disappeared. And my mom said, what did you write on the cream? And I said, it was a fade cream. Mom told me, listen, if you ever have a cut, the thing to put on it is aloe vera. Don't put anything that's going to miraculously take off the scar overnight, you know? So there are creams that are advertised as fake creams, maybe you but have a scar, the they tell thing, you
yeah.
it's bleaching. That's right. what it's doing. If you have a scar, they tell you this will fade this thing really quickly, and people are deceived by that. Or they tell you you have acne spots, just put a spot bleach on your face. And I feel like there are better ways to do these things. Do your research, but use things that are safe and healthy and will not damage your skin and even your self-esteem. Because that's really where we're going with this. You know, there are people who are bleaching because of low self-esteem.
Yeah.
There are people who are doing it because they feel like they're going to be prettier when they do it. They feel like they're going to be seen when they do it. In fact, in the documentary, there was this lady who was saying, well, she doesn't think she can stop, except when she gets married. Because when she gets married, she would have achieved her aim. And somebody's like, okay, but he met you in separate color. Yeah. What if he says, I actually do like light skin girls. Yeah. What are you going to do? And she's like, well, I'll just have to keep bleaching. And do you see that? That's there's no end date in that.
Right. Is bleaching like a permanent way of like makeup? Because I know people put makeup to like, I mean, brighten it, their faces a little bit. Right? Is that also a thing?
Bleaching is not makeup.
No, I know it's not makeup. I'm saying that. Is it one way to avoid using makeup?
No. So makeup is a different thing. Bleaching just makes your skin lighter, right? Lighter skin.
Okay.
On your lighter skin, you may still need to put foundation on your lighter skin. What I've seen people do is actually use a color foundation that is not their shade. So for instance, they're really dark skin, but they use a light, really light foundation. So when you look at their faces, it's like it was cut out from paper or something.
Okay.
The face looks really lit, but the neck and the other parts of the body look really dark. In that case, they're trying to be a different color than they really, really are. So sometimes people don't match their foundation.
Well, it's just the face.
Yeah. People don't match their foundation really, really well. Anyway, so that's our message to you guys. You know, it's hard to tell people to love the body that they're creating because some of these issues are psychological. If you do feel like some part of your body is not as attractive, or you feel like nobody's going to like you because of this, maybe you have stretch marks, maybe you're short, maybe you're too dark in your own opinion, and you feel like this is a disadvantage, I can't find a husband, think about it. Do you really want people to like you for that one thing, right? You know, you want them to like you for something that will be difficult to lose, such as your character, such as your smile, such as your joy, those things that don't really change so fast. You know, we don't want people to be so superficial. If someone is coming to you because of your skin color, they don't really like you that much. They just like what you look like. Yeah, they're just not interested in you. So if you find that you don't like a certain part of your body, it's okay to go to therapy for that. You know, it's okay to talk to somebody about it, someone who is not going to judge you. And that's where we're coming from, is we don't judge people on this show. We don't say, hey, if you do it, you have low self-esteem, so you should No, we don't do that.
That's never, you know, our intention or my intention personally, just based on some of the answers I gave.
Right, because, hey, we understand that, say, some of these things are deeply rooted.
Yes.
Maybe somebody has told you for years that you're not beautiful. Yeah, yeah. It's not going to disappear overnight because it's into a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's something that can be worked on. You can actually speak to someone about it. And find other alternatives, to improve your self-esteem. But I trust me, it's not going to come. You're not going to find any fulfillment in a bottle of cream or any bleaching, toning, or whitening agent. No. People who you think are really, really beautiful also have problems. People who you think are flawless have problems as well. You know, their life is not perfect because of their skin color or because they don't have a single acne on their skin. And here's the people who also have acne, because I've struggled with that all my life, really, is the fact that you have acne doesn't mean that you're not beautiful. The fact that you have acne doesn't mean you're not going to get good things in life. I've struggled with acne, like, off and on. Like, sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. And when I don't, I probably have scars from the ones that I just had, you know? But I love myself regardless. I do. And I accept myself the way I am. And I have friends who have serial acne as well. So, but we carry ourselves with pride and with the highest possible. If you don't like me, that's okay. That's fine. Not everybody's going to like you.
And it takes a long time to get to that point where you built up your reserve of self-esteem. Because, of course, there'll be times I'll be broken down.
Right.
times that will be broken. There will be times that things said are or things done would really get to you. Many times, you know.
I mean, I can share an insecurity I had for a long time. I have stretch marks actually, and they're like zebra marks on my legs. When I was younger, I was really very skinny, and I just couldn't understand for the life of me why I would have so many stretch marks. And I was so insecure to the point where sometimes I couldn't wear shorts. I just felt like everyone was looking at it because as you can see, I'm lighter skin, so people can see everything on my skin. And I remember one time during my NYSC, I wore these shorts, and one of the guys was like, "Oh my God, look at your leg. You have stretch marks and you're so skinny," you know? And it hurt my feelings. It really hurt me. And that day, I actually spoke to my sister about it. I actually vocalized my fear. Because before, it was all in my head, where I'd never tell anybody how I was feeling. And then I called my sister on the phone. I was just telling her that I said to her, "Who's going to like me with all these stretch marks?" And she burst out laughing. I was like, why are you laughing? And she just told me that nobody cares about stretch marks in the grand scheme of things. She's like, when someone falls in love with you, your stretch marks are going to be the least of your problems. And that's what I see right now. And I was able to laugh about that problem. So a lot of us have these insecurities, but then we internalize them, we magnify them, we feed them by watching negative stuff, listening to negative stuff, and we don't never talk about it. It just continues to grow in our head, you know? But what I want to tell you is, if I could get over my insecurity of these stretch marks, I believe that you can as well. And I didn't even go to therapy for it. I just spoke to my sister, and she was really, really, like,
it kind of shows you, you know, finding support is key.
If you feel like you have really dark skin, really, really dark skin, you don't love that skin, talk to somebody about it, you know? Tell somebody, "This is what my problem is." And hopefully you talk to someone that is supportive and they can help you understand that you're beautiful.
I really think this, like, you know, a lot of it in this day and age, you know, if we're talking about dark skin is embraced.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you look at movies, look at, you know, pictures, a lot of, you know, top photographers are, you know, doing all these portraits of dark-skinned people, and it just looks so beautiful. So,
yeah,
it should be one thing that would give you some motivation to love your skin, you know, love who you are.
And also realize that sometimes when people tell you things, negative things about your skin, it's not really about you. So, for instance, I met this girl recently, and she said to me, "You're not even as light-skinned as I thought." And I'm just wondering where that came from. But then I realized that, this girl is probably dealing with things that are bigger than me, you know? She's trying to project. A lot of times people project their weaknesses on you. So, for instance, they're struggling with discrimination over, on, you know, like colorism as well. And other people have talked down to, you know, at them. So other people have talked down at them. And then they see you, who have the same color, but you don't have those restrictions. Maybe you grew up in a loving family where everybody was like, "You're beautiful. You're the most beautiful girl in the world." I've seen people like that who have larger than life attitudes, right? You can't tell them nothing. And so someone sees you with that big larger than life attitude, and then they say to you, "Oh, you're not even as beautiful as I thought you were. Or you're not even as light skinned as I thought you were." You know, sometimes those things are not even about you. Sometimes those people are projecting their negativity on you. And so sometimes, make sure that you're reading the situation right. Sometimes it's not about you. Let that negative energy die there. Let it stay with that conversation. Let it stay with that person. You don't need to take that home and mull over it and think over it. And then they're asking everybody, like, "What cream are you using? What this are you using?" Before you know it, you're going crazy buying all these things. And I know this because of the whole natural hair movement. When it started, I wasn't personally impressed because I just felt that a lot of people were comparing their hair textures with each other, you know, instead of focusing on the why. We want to cut out the chemical relaxers and things like that. People were beginning to compare their hair textures. They were beginning to talk down on people, saying, "Oh, you don't have good self-esteem. That's why you're using weaves. Or you're relaxing your hair because you don't have good self-esteem." And because of that, there was like this, it had such a negative effect, you know. But when people started talking about the benefits of doing it, why you should think about doing it, you know, they came from a different angle. A lot of people started seeing the good in it, you know, and they remove that antagonism from it. So I think the way that you approach a problem is also important, where if you speak kindly to people, if you're patient with people, you can change their mindset. But if you're harsh with people and you put them down, they're not going to listen to you at all. So that's all we have today on skin bleaching. I personally don't think about it. I don't care about it. If you think that you want to marry someone who's light skinned, because I've heard this where ladies are like, "Ah,
must marry a light skinned guy, or my baby's gonna be fine. Or I'm marrying a foreigner because I want to have a beautiful baby, you know? So if this is you guys, we'd like to know what you guys think about this episode. Have you ever had a situation where someone talked about your skin? Tell them, how did that make you feel? And what are you doing now, actually, to make people around you feel a little more comfortable with who they are? Please just talk about that, all right? For you, it may not be skin color. For you, it may be just fat, you know? You may just be the kind of person that mouths off on people who have gained weight, you know? You can't see someone with putting extra pounds and remove your face. You would always want to say, hey, I can see you're putting extra pounds. Or you have something to say about every situation. Right. That may be you. And so it's time to begin to think about these things and ask yourself important questions. Are you projecting negativity? Right. Because are you coming from a place of love, or are you just trying to project negativity? Okay. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Thank you, Ade, for coming. You're putting your 2 cents. We'll talk about your love for girls that wear glasses later. But until then, have an amazing day.
Bye.
Bye. Sayonara. Say go, babe. Now go, babe. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question. What if I told you that I now like light-skinned guys, and I want my guy to be light-skinned, and would you bleach for love?
No. again, I guess.
Walk out on this love of a lifetime.
It also is down to the strength of one's character. And I say that, I don't mean to be insensitive by saying that, because, you know, when it comes down to it, it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could say, oh yeah, why don't you just, you know, toughen up and deal with it? No.
Mm-hmm.
There's immense pressure that people will go through to do the things that they do, you know,
right.
Like taking the decision to leave because they want to fit into the crowd.
Right.
That being said, it's typically down to the strength of one's character, you know, to stick by your morals and stick by what you think is right, what you believe is right. So, is our love strong enough for me to bend my morals? Is the question.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Love is supposed to be conquer all.
We conquer. This is conquer.
No, love is supposed to conquer all.
It's supposed
all
to conquer
things.
All, but
so
then.
So, love should trump your morals.
Hmm? Hear yourself.
No, if I say, baby, I love you, please bleach for me. You will not tell me that our love is not strong enough.
Yeah, that's not love. That's not love. That's abuse. That's abuse.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, one of the things I like about you is your skin. I really like, and I always tell you that your skin is even toned. It's the same everywhere. It's just really, really, I'm not teasing here, but you have really good skin. And one thing people don't know about being lighter shade is that I've battled with skin issues all my life, really. For instance, in the summer, I like to lay on the floor sometimes. And if I get bitten by any insects, like, it will be like a signboard, like,
your Airbnb.
Oh my god. Stories. Yeah, so many things. So, or if I have acne, or if I have any scars, right. Or if I have right. anything, I feel like that's the first people see about me. And so I have to be extra careful all the time, you know?
Mm.
And so I feel like I have dark skin, I will have those worries. But that's just to tell you some of the things that people who are lighter skin actually face. So if you have like scratches or acne or whatever, it's just really out there. Another thing is unwanted attention, because in our society, people actually like light-skinned girls. And so you get all these people, nice guys, bad guys, you know, it's just a mix. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly trying to figure out, some people are like, that's a good problem to have, but it's not really a good problem to have, because you want people to come to you because they like your character,
right?
They,
not just
who you are on the inside, not because of what they see on the outside, because all that stuff can just disappear, really. And so those are some of the things. I'm not saying that being light skin is not nice, but I'm just saying everything comes with its own responsibilities. And you'd have to navigate the process. And I will not sit here and act like, you know, I haven't really, my mindset wasn't once light, maybe better.
Yeah.
Because when I was in high school, we did have some mixed kids. I don't know the politically correct term to use these days. We used to call them half-castes then, but then yeah, we know better now. Yeah, we know better that that's not a good thing to say. But they're actually mixed race kids. And so, for instance, your dad is Nigerian and your mom is Brazilian. And you, they have this mix and they have this beautiful child who doesn't quite have the kinky African hair, but has like curly hair, a little more curly and maybe softer.
Right.
And then the skin is more on the lighter shade, right? And we had people like that in my high school. And I used to look at them like, these girls are really pretty. Like, they're so beautiful. Why did I think that way? Because they were different. And because society had kind of like subconsciously put those layers there,
right,
that lighter was better. I still remember I told my friend the other day, Jojo, I told her that you were the very first person I saw with a black doll when we were kids. And we were in Nigeria. But she was the very first person I saw with a black doll. And her godmother had sent it to her from the US. And I was so intrigued by this thing. I would follow her everywhere just to play with this doll. So you see, we didn't even have black dolls at that time.
Yeah.
If anything, well, we had this. We had all the Barbies. Age, right? Yeah, we had all the Barbies with the long hair.
Yeah.
And Jojo was the very first person I saw with a black doll with, you know, kinky hair. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, she's so beautiful, but why don't we have the, you know, these things?
Right.
So I think it's that conditioning. You don't even know it's there, but it's there because of the little thing. You watch the cartoons and you watch the cartoons, the pretty girls are right, long blonde hair,
right,
and you know, you're in Africa watching these things and that's what gets ingrained in you. Mm-hmm. So there were times I also thought that, you know, but then I had to tell myself, like, what is this? I had to think about it. I remember when I was a kid and we used to have all these missionaries come from America with their kids. And my best friend growing up was Dorcas, right?
Yeah.
And the whole year I and Dorcas are cool.
Yeah.
Best, inseparable, really, really cool. As soon as these kids come, like, we start fighting. Why? Because who's going to be best friends with the white kids this summer? You know?
Yeah.
So I'll wake up early, go outside and play with them, and then I'll go back to the person in the evening that, ah, guess what? Guess where I was all day with these kids. We played and played and played and played, you know? And then my very good friend will butt heads because we just each wanted the friendship of this kids who would come from abroad. So you see that is also a consequence of conditioning where it's there in your subconscious that these people are better, and we'll spend the whole time just fixing it on their hair, their clothes, the way they smell. That's when I realized that people have a different, you know, smell to them. It was just a thing that we would do, you know. And so, but now I know better, and that's why I'm preaching this message. That's what I'm saying to you guys. There was a time that I used to think that way as well. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's okay. Igbo people will say this. Yeah, let me say it in Igbo.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you wake up, is your morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the head and tail of what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So if you wake up at 12 noon, it's good morning. Wake up at 6 a.m. is good morning.
Mm-hmm.
9 p.m. is good morning. So basically, whenever you wake up to the truth or whenever you wake up to new information, use that information to make your life better. Use that information to make it better. And I know that on the side, you also have a business, actually, where you, this media company that you,
right,
you do all this photography and videography. One of the girls in the documentary on Netflix, the skin documentary, was saying that as an artist, she's super dark skin, and when she go on set, lighting people will be like, ah, this light skin is easier to film. So what do you feel about working with people of different skin tones?
And that is actually the misconception, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a misconception there. And actually, that's the greatest misconception.
Mm-hmm.
Darker skinned people are actually the most interesting to light. But, you know, melanin or you know, dark skin takes in a range of colors, right? You can light someone that is... a dark complexion, a nice even tone of like sepia, blue, or teal. You can throw in an orange there. And it just like, it bounces off their skin, just like in a very rich way, right? People that are, and again, it all depends on your lights, right? But it's understood that, yes, if you're lighter in complexion, you need less lights.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that there's only so much you can do,
mm-hmm.
right? You're able to, I see darker skinned people a very interesting canvas, or a canvas that you can just like paint, or you can be really creative with.
Mm. I see what you mean.
Well, again, you know, it's not to say that one is better than the other, but right. There's a great misconception that one is better than the other.
Right.
You know, look at series like Insecure, mm-hmm. right, on HBO, and see most of the characters that are on that show are dark skinned. And the way that those characters are lit in many of the scenes, it just really gives you a masterclass of how to light people that are dark in complexion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense. But here's what I'll say, right?
If you're working on a set and your job is to do the lighting, mm-hmm. I don't think you have any business telling people.
Yeah, that's just
picking out talent and saying that, oh, you know, because you're dark skinned, yeah. you're or light skinned or dark skinned, you know. It's hard to work with you. I can't figure out the lighting.
Yeah,
figure
lazy.
It out. That's your job.
You're just lazy.
That's why you have that job. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. And stop giving the talent problems because right. of their skin color. I think that's just wrong. So that's something I would really want to put out there is people need to stop, right? People need to stop. And then there are people out there who are saying, well, I'm not bleaching. I'm just toning, mm-hmm. you know. That's fair, all right? Do you? At the end of the day, it's a choice. At the end of the day, you make a choice. But just understand that...
Are there also... I'm sorry to jump in. Are there people that have to bleach for a particular... I don't know, maybe like they had an accident or something, or, you know, maybe they got sunburned?
No.
Are there instances where...
Let me give you an instance where... When I was younger and I was in high school, there was this lady that... My sister's friend, actually. She mm-hmm. stayed with us. For a while, and I had this bruise on my hand. I still remember it. And my sister's friend had this cream that said that it would fade cream, that's what they called it,
okay.
and that it would fade any spots on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that cream on that bruise,
right.
and I kid you not, in 2 days that scar was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going home and telling my mom that I used this cream on my bruise and my scar disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said, what did you write on the cream? And I said, it was a fade cream.
Mm-hmm.
My mom told me, listen, if you ever have a cut, the thing to put on it is aloe vera.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put anything that's going to miraculously take off the scar yeah, overnight, yeah. you know? So there are creams that are advertised as fade creams. Maybe you but have a scar, the they tell thing, you.
Right? Yeah.
It's bleaching. Right. That's what it's doing. If you have a scar, they tell you this will fade this thing really quickly. And people are deceived by that. Or they tell you have acne spots, just put a spot bleach mm-hmm. on your face. And I feel like there are better ways to do these things. Do your research.
Right.
But use things that are safe and healthy and will not damage your skin and even your self-esteem. Because
mm-hmm.
that's really where we're going with this. You know, there are people who are bleaching because of low self-esteem.
Yeah.
There are people who are doing it because they feel like they're going to be prettier when they do it. They feel like they're going to be seen when they do it. In fact, in the documentary, there was this lady who was saying, she doesn't think she can stop,
yeah.
except when she gets married. Because when she gets married, she would have achieved her aim. And somebody's like, okay, but he met you
yeah,
in separate
yeah,
color.
Yeah.
What if he says, I actually do like light-skinned girls. Yeah. What are you going to do? And she's like, well, I'll just have to keep bleaching. And do you see that? That's there's no end date in that.
Right.
You
right,
know?
Right. Is bleaching like a permanent way of like makeup? Because I know people put makeup to, brighten their faces a little bit. Right? Is that
so,
also a thing?
Bleaching is not makeup.
No, I know it's not makeup. I'm saying
right.
that. Is it one way to avoid using makeup?
No. So makeup is a different thing. Bleaching just makes your skin lighter, right? Lighter skin.
Okay.
On your lighter skin, you may still need to put foundation on your lighter skin. What I've seen people do is actually use a color foundation that is not their shade. So, for instance, they're really dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
They use a light, really light foundation. So, when you look at their faces, it's like it was cut out from paper or something.
Okay.
The face looks really lit, but the neck and the other parts of the body look really dark. In that case, they're trying to be a different color than they really, really are. So, sometimes people don't match their foundation.
Yeah, it's just the face.
Yeah. People don't match their foundation really, really well. Anyway, mm-hmm. so that's our message to you guys. You know, it's hard to tell people to love the body that they're creating
yeah.
because some of these issues are psychological. If you do feel like some part of your body is not as attractive, or you feel like nobody's going to like you because of this, maybe you have stretch marks, maybe you're short, maybe you're too dark in your own opinion,
and you feel like this is a disadvantage, I can't find a husband, think about it. Do you really want people to like you for your for that one thing?
Right?
You know, you want them to like you for something that would be difficult to lose, such as your character, such as your smile, such as your joy. Those things that don't really change so fast, you know. We don't want people to be so superficial. If someone is coming to you because of your skin color, we don't really like you that much. They're just more interested.
They just like what you look like.
Yeah, they're just not interested in you. So, if you find that you don't like a certain part of your body, it's okay to go to therapy for that. You know, it's okay to talk to somebody about it. Someone who is not going to judge you, and that's where we're coming from. Is we don't judge people on this show. We don't say, hey, if you do it, you have low self-esteem, so you should No, we don't do that.
And that's never, you know, our intention or my intention, personally, based on some of the answers I gave.
Right, because, hey, we understand that, say, some of these things are deeply rooted.
Yes.
Maybe somebody has told you for years that you're not beautiful. Yeah. It's not going to disappear overnight because it's into a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's something that can be worked on. You can actually speak to someone about it. And find other alternatives, to improve your self-esteem. But I trust me, it's not going to come. You're not going to find any fulfillment in a bottle of cream or any bleaching, toning, or whitening agent. No. People who you think are really, really beautiful also have problems. People you think are flawless have problems as well. You know, their life is not perfect because of their skin color or because they don't have a single acne on their skin. And here's the people who also have acne, because I've struggled with that all my life, really, is the fact that you have acne doesn't mean that you're not beautiful. The fact that you have acne doesn't mean you're not going to get good things in life. I've struggled with acne, like, off and on. Like, sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. And when I don't, I probably have scars from the ones that I just had, you know? But I love myself regardless. I do, and I accept myself the way I am. And I have friends who have serial acne as well. So, but we carry ourselves with pride and with the highest possible. If you don't like me, that's okay. That's fine. Not everybody's gonna like you.
And it takes honestly, it takes a long time to get to that point where you built up your, you know. Built up your reserve of self-esteem. Because, of course, there'll be times that I'll be broken down.
Right.
Times that I'll be broken down. There'll be times that things said are or things done would really get to you. Oh, many times, you know.
I mean, I can share an insecurity I had for a long time. I have stretch marks, actually. And they're like zebra marks on my legs. When I was younger, I was really very skinny. And I just couldn't understand for the life of me why I would have so many stretch marks. And I was so insecure to the point where sometimes I couldn't wear shorts. I just felt like everyone was looking at it because as you can see, I'm lighter skin, so people can see everything on my skin. And I remember one time during my NYSC, I wore these shorts, and one of the guys was like, "Oh my God, look at your leg! You have stretch marks, and you're so skinny," you know. And it hurt my feelings; it really hurt me. And that day, I actually spoke to my sister about it. I actually vocalized my fear because before it was all in my head, where I'd never tell anybody how I was feeling. And then I called my sister on the phone. I was just telling her that. I said to her, "Who is going to like me with all these stretch marks?" And she burst out laughing. I was like, "Why are you laughing?" And she just told me, like, nobody cares about stretch marks in the grand scheme of things. She's like, when someone falls in love with you, your stretch marks are going to be the least of their problems. And that's what I see right now. And I was able to laugh about that problem. So a lot of us have these insecurities, but then we internalize them, we magnify them, we feed them by watching negative stuff, listening to negative stuff. And we don't never talk about it. And it just continues to grow in our head, you know. But what I want to tell you is if I could get over my insecurity of these stretch marks, I believe that you can as well. And I didn't even go to therapy for it. I just spoke to my sister and she was really, really, like, she was.
It kind of shows you, you know, finding support.
Finding support is key. If you feel like you have really dark skin, really, really dark skin, you don't love that skin, talk to somebody about it, you know. Tell somebody, this is what my problem is. And hopefully you talk to someone that is supportive and they can help you understand that you're beautiful.
I really think it's like, you know, a lot of it in this day and age, you know, if we're talking about dark skin is embraced.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you look at movies, look at, you know, pictures, you know, a lot of, you know, top photographers are, you know, doing all these portraits of dark skinned people, and it just looks so beautiful. So
yeah,
it should be one thing that would give you some motivation to love your skin, right. Love who you are.
And also realize that sometimes when people tell you things, negative things about your skin, it's not really about you. So for instance, I met this girl recently and she said to me, "You're not even as light skinned as I thought." And I'm just wondering where that came from. But then I realized that, this girl is probably dealing with things that are bigger than me, you know? She's trying to project, a lot of times people project their weaknesses on you. So for instance, they're struggling with discrimination over, on, you know, like colorism as well. And other people have talked down to, you know, at them. So other people have talked down at them and then they see you who have the same color, but you don't have those restrictions. Maybe you grew up in a loving family where everybody was like, "You're beautiful. You're the most beautiful girl in the world." I've seen people like that who have larger than life attitudes, right? You can't tell them nothing. And so someone sees you with that big larger than life attitude and then they say to you, "Oh, you're not even as beautiful as I thought you were." Or, "You're not even as light skinned as I thought you were." You know, sometimes those things are not even about you. Sometimes those people are projecting their negativity on you. And so sometimes make sure that you're reading the situation right. Sometimes it's not about you. Let that negative energy die there. Let it stay with that conversation. Let it stay with that person. You don't need to take that home and mull over it and think over it. And then they're asking everybody, like, "What cream are you using? What this are you using?" Before you know it, you're going crazy buying all these things. And I know this because of the whole natural hair movement. When it started, I wasn't personally impressed because I just felt that a lot of people were comparing their hair textures with each other, you know, instead of focusing on the why. We want to cut out the chemical relaxers and things like that. People were beginning to compare their hair textures. They were beginning to talk down on people saying, "Oh, you don't have good self-esteem. That's why you're using weaves. Or you're relaxing your hair because you don't have good self-esteem." And because of that, there was like this, it had such a negative effect. You know, but when people started talking about the benefits of doing it, why you should think about doing it, you know, they came from a different angle. A lot of people started seeing the good in it, you know, and they remove that antagonism from it. So I think the way that you approach a problem is also important, where if you speak kindly to people, if you're patient with people, you can change their mindset. But if you're harsh with people and you put them down, they're not going to listen to you at all. So that's all we have today on skin bleaching. I personally don't think about it. I don't care about it. If you think that you want to marry someone who's light skinned, because I've heard this where ladies are like, "I must marry a light skinned guy, or my baby's gonna be fine." Or, "I'm marrying a foreigner because I want to have a beautiful baby," you know? So if this is you guys, we'd like to know what you guys think about this episode. Have you ever had a situation where someone talked about your skin tone? How did that make you feel? And what are you doing now actually to make people around you feel a little more comfortable with who they are? Please just talk about that. Right? For you, it may not be skin color. For you, it may be just fat, you know? You may just be the kind of person that mouths off on people who have gained weight, you know? You can't see someone with putting extra pounds and remove your face. You would always want to say, "Hey, I can see you're putting extra pounds." Or you have something to say about every situation. Right. That may be you. And so it's time to begin to think about these things and ask yourself important questions. Are you projecting negativity? Right. Because are you coming from a place of love or are you just trying to project negativity? Okay. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Thank you, Adi, for coming and putting your 2 cents. We'll talk about your love for girls that wear glasses later. But until then, an amazing day.
Come on.
Bye. Sayonara. Say goodbye. Now goodbye. Thank you.
Hey listener, what do you think about this episode? Do you have a question or some feedback that you would like to provide or a suggestion for a future guest? Now you can send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio messages that just might end up on a future episode of the podcast. You can send me a voice message right now just by clicking on the link in my show notes. Can't wait to hear from you. Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.